rested and came to beautiful Wrigley Field to watch the Chicago Cubs play his own game on his own green grass under his own lights. Hey, Greg, how you doing?
If that voice sounds familiar, it should if you are a fan not only of stage and screen and television and local Chicago theater. It is none other than Joe Mantegna, and that's one of his opening lines from a play that he conceived and performed back in 1977 at the Organic Theater, and later actually came back and directed a version back in 1989 called Bleacher Bums. And if you're a Cub fan, you certainly know what a bleacher bum is, but back in 1978, or in 79 or 77, the bums were really bums. And I am really excited because I've got Joe Mantegna on the phone. How you doing, Joe?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much for calling. I had a friend of ours that that said, I know Joe, and I'll see if he has some time. I'm sure. Are you filming Criminal Minds as we speak?
I am indeed. I just got home about an hour ago, and I'm knee deep in that. Right.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for taking the time. The reason I wanted to talk to you, if I had the opportunity, was that I am currently in rehearsals for a production of Bleacher Bums, and I'm playing Marvin.
Oh, excellent!
And so, I was hoping since you conceived this show and co-wrote it with many of the people at the Organic, most notably as well, Dennis Franz, another great Chicago actor. First of all, if you have a few more minutes, I don't want to take too much of your time, but so you went to a Cub game one day in 1977 and came away and said, wait a minute, there's a play here.
Yeah, I mean, what it was is I was a small child, and it then evolved into becoming an actor and had to get into the acting profession. I used to sit in those seats and think, what is it that draws 35,000 people out here to was basically, a somewhat mediocre team.
At that time, yeah.
If I can get a tenth of this audience into a theater. So, I mean, it was really that. And that was, what is it about fans that, about that will cause a fan to support a team that, you know, is like marginal somewhat, you know what I mean?
Right.
So, really the genesis of Bleacher Bums, of exploring what it was. And the section I sat in the bleachers, I thought, there's enough characters here to create a play, and I talked it over with the rest of the company at the Organic at the time and said, I think I've got the genesis of a play here. If you'll all come with me and sit in this section of the bleachers, and that's basically how it started. We all agreed that yeah, this was something that needed to be done, and Bleacher Bums was created.
And it's maintained its popularity. It's continued to do productions all around the country. You guys brought it to Broadway. So, I mean, this was not just some little local popular show. This turned out to be...
Oh, no. Not at all. We in fact, it ran 10 years in Los Angeles.
That's what I mean, yeah.
From 1980 to 1990 in a Wigler Theater out here. So it does transcend the Cubs in a way, and it transcends baseball. It's really about, about the underdog, about the fan, about the people who through thick and thin, will support the team or the individual or whoever it may be that tries very hard yet still hasn't quite gotten there yet. And so, but at any rate, I'm hoping that this is the year that my play becomes obsolete.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I tell you, first of all, back when you were going to see those games in 1977, the bleachers were the worst seat in the house and the cheapest.
Right.
And now they're considered the best seat in the house and among the most expensive.
Right.
And
the way it is.
And as well, as you said, now you got to remember back in 77 when you were there with some great Chicago Cubs like George Mitterwald and Jerry Morales, right. They were not a very good team.
No, I mean, look, my mother's going to be 101 in about 2 weeks.
Oh, my gosh. Congratulations.
World Championship. Yeah. I think to myself, well, she hasn't seen them win a World Championship yet. But, we're hoping, we're getting close. And my mom's hanging in there, so God bless her. She's healthy.
Oh, that's great. Well, I hope she hangs on, because just tell her to hang on till like November.
Yeah, really. I think she will. I think she's in pretty good shape.
Well, that's great. That's a great, because it's funny that you say that, because I thought about this too. My father passed away about 10 years ago, and he had a friend of his that was a diehard Cub fan, and he was 81. And I said, poor Mono never lived to see a Cubs World Series. There was so many people that literally lived a lifetime.
Right.
It's
right,
unbelievable.
Right. Well,
So tell me now. So as I said, I'm playing Marvin, and I saw your 1989 production when you came back to Chicago and directed it at the Organic.
Right, with Dennis Farina.
With Dennis Farina and J.J. Johnston.
J.J. Johnston, yeah.
Yeah, and in fact, J.J. played my role, Marvin. Now, the edition that we're doing is an updated edition that's actually was done in 1998. So I'm kind of disappointed because I would love to have done the original with all those old names like Ted Simmons and, as I said before, Jerry Morales.
Oh, and sure, Bruce Sutter.
Bruce Sutter, yeah. Now they've changed it to Rod Beck and, you know, Mark Grace, right. Which is fine.
It's still apropos. I mean, you can change the names, but the basic, you know, until they close the deal, the theme of the play still is relevant. You
know? Exactly. So my question now, because I mean, this is a rare opportunity for an actor to actually talk to the playwright, and get some tips. So was there like a real Marvin? And I should say that Marvin, my character, is like a professional gambler, kind of a degenerate gambler, professional gambler,
right.
Who will bet on anything and basically comes there to make his living.
Yeah, yeah, there really kind of was. I mean, all the characters were loosely based on either individuals or people we noticed, or, you know, some of them were a compilation of people. Like, I mean, the cheerleader was a compilation of all the those guys, a lot of them Vietnam vets that used to be what they used to call the bleacher bums out in left field.
Right.
And then the woman, Zig's wife, was this woman who used to come to the game. She wasn't really married to the guy that played Zig. But we kind of put them together. And then the blind character, Greg, he was a compilation of three blind guys that used to sit there together. And one of them had a cowbell and the other guy had the radio.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, everybody kind of exemplified real kind of individuals. And Marvin was this one guy. His name was Ron, I remember at the time. And it was funny when a lot of them came and saw the play, ultimately, when they heard they inspired these characters. And I remember when Ron saw the play, it was so typical. It was perfect Marvin line, because after he saw the play, he says, "Yeah, the play was great. Which guy was I?" He didn't even see himself in there as being that guy. I kind of flattered him. I said, "Well, actually, I patterned Marvin after you, but you notice at the end, you know, you were the smart guy. You were the only guy that made any money."
Exactly, yeah. You bet against the Cubs the whole game.
Yeah, so, I mean, he had the prophetic line. Nobody ever went broke betting against the Cubs after the 4th of July.
Hey, I like the way you still remember the line. Nice.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I remember most of the lines. That's
hard, great.
Hard to forget them, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, as the Marvin character, you gave me some nice meaty lines to play about, you know, how the Cubs are springtime wonders and heartbreakers, and Chicago's a bunch of masochists. They love to see themselves get beat.
Yeah.
So there's some nice meaty stuff, and even especially toward the end there when get some nice little things to sort of attack this Richie character who's kind of a nerdy guy. So it's really a nice meaty part. But I was just wondering. So I'm playing him kind of. I mean, it says in the description he's sleazy. Now, would you consider him sleazy?
No.
See,
no,
I wouldn't. No.
No, you shouldn't. In fact, Marvin. I mean, Marvin is. You have to think about it. He's the winner. He's a winner. Marvin is not sleazy. I mean, what I think to real Cub fans, they may think of him coming off as being like that sleazy guy because he's, you know, he's betting against the Cubs, and a real Cub fan might that disturb him. But you can't look at it that way. I mean, that's the thing about acting. I mean, when you're playing what ultimately is perhaps the villainous role in a way,
right?
That guy doesn't think of himself that way. He's the smart guy. I mean, as I said, at the end of the play, you know, Marvin walks out of there. He's got a smile on his face. He won. So it's all based on perspective. But I think it would be wrong to think of him as sleazy.
Yeah, no, I don't. No, I'm not. I'm playing him more as kind of like a street smart kind of guy that is looking at the odds here and trying to find a sucker for his next bet, and trying to be a little smarter than the rest, because there is even a line there that says, "Hey, the only reason I'm sitting here betting with these guys because I know I can't lose. Otherwise, I'd be at the track."
Right. And he says the line to Decker when he basically says, "You know, your problem is you bet with your heart and not with your head."
Yeah.
And you know, and that's always been the case with Cub fans in a way for all these years, but. That's what makes him, you know, that's what makes being a Cub fan such a unique thing in life. It's easy to be a Yankee fan. It's very hard to be a Cub fan.
Well, believe me, I grew up on the Northwest Side about 5 miles from Wrigley, right off of Addison. I've been suffering with them as long. And the one thing, I know you keep very close to your Chicago roots. In fact, you have a Chicago-based restaurant in Los Angeles.
Yes, we do. We have a restaurant called Taste Chicago in Burbank. We actually did a podcast there on Sunday just before the Cubs Dodger game here.
Oh, very
and
cool.
Friday, I was at the Cub Dodger game out here on Friday. You know, Tom Ricketts was out here, and he had a whole bunch of Chicago, you know, based LA based Chicago celebrities at the game. So I was there with Bonnie Hunt.
Oh, nice.
Tom Dreesen and Bob Newhart and Jim Belushi.
Oh,
and
wow.
It was a great cross section of Jeff Garland and. A couple of the Cubs were there. Rick Sutcliffe was there.
Oh, the Red Baron, of course.
Yeah, so we had a wonderful, wonderful evening, and the Cubs won that game on Friday night, so it was perfect. It was a perfect night.
Yeah, that's great. Well, like I said, what's neat about this show is that not only does it try to capture this moment in time, you know, with the Cub fan, but it really is an allegory for the city as well in terms of, you know, kind of that second city underdog you know, kind of reputation that because we're always in the shadow of New York, whether, you know,
yeah.
we want to be or not. And so it really does play to that, too, is that there's these diehards who are always looking at themselves. They're kind of losers outside, but when they get into Wrigley Field, they're in their element and they're not losers anymore.
No, exactly right. Hey, look, we're still the city of big shoulders. You know, Carl Sandburg was right. You know, it's the packers of wheat and, you know, the meat packers.
Right.
Packers of wheat, packers of wheat.
Well, I have to thank you too because not only did I see the play in 1989 that you did, and that's why I'm very excited to be doing this. But one time I was on a plane back from Chicago, and you don't remember this, and I wouldn't expect you to. But I go to my seat, and there's Joe Mantegna in the seat next to me, and we sat together, and I had just interviewed 2 or 3 years before that. And we were talking about baseball. You wrote, if you remember, you wrote a story for the New York Times about the Cubs.
I did. I wrote, I did the op-ed page for the New York Times on the Cubs' very first night game.
Yeah, and and I remembered, you know, reading that and talking to you about it. But the cool thing was, one of the first plays I ever saw was you and Glenn Ross with Peter Falk.
Oh, wow, right. Yes, that was.
And I'm a huge Peter Falk fan, but I saw that play. And I just said, wow, that looks like fun. And I haven't been a professional actor for a long time, and I've done a lot of plays around here. But that play really, even as a young kid, I was in my early 20s, and I saw you in that play. And I've gone out. One of my favorite movies is Things Change.
Oh, with Don Ameche. Oh,
yeah.
I love doing it.
Yeah, just a great movie. And, of course, House of Games, and now you're on Criminal Minds. And, you know, you've had a great career, and I'm just tickled that you took some time out from your busy day to give me a call and give me some tips because at least I know I'm on the right track for Marvin.
Oh, you are. Just go out, have a good time, and just know that you're a winner. You know what I mean?
Right.
In one respect, you're a winner. I mean, it's you have to look at it that way. You have to be positive. You have to be strong. And that's what's great about the play, I think. I mean, it's like all the characters, you know, have they're very well-defined individuals, and you just happen to represent, you know, everybody who's not a Cub fan, you know. So,
well, I'll tell you, if my director gives me any other direction, I'm going to say, hey, I talked to the guy who wrote the play.
There you go.
Well, you know what? The Cubs might be playing the Dodgers in the playoffs, so that Chicago connection, you might have some fun out there in the playoffs.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. I certainly hope so. Yeah, we're gearing up for that, and we're just hoping for the best. And like I said, my take on it has also been this. When people ask me, what's my ultimate dream? My ultimate dream is that the Cubs win the World Series, and then we actually can safely abolish baseball and embrace soccer like the rest of the world. And then the rest of it will ensure world peace, because then the whole rest of the world will say, look, they've given up their national pastime in order to embrace the beautiful game which the rest of us play on this planet. And there's no reason to continue playing baseball anymore. The Cubs have won
right.
the world.
But first, the Cubs have to win for that to happen.
But first, they have to win. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for taking time. Joe Mantegna, one of Chicago's very own. You make us so proud for the great career that you've carved out. And you'll be doing another season of Criminal Minds. It's been a very great show. My wife loves that show. We watch it every week.
Thank you very much. It's always great to talk to the hometown.
Okay, well, I'm a Paisan, so thank you so much for giving me a call.
My pleasure. You take care.
All right, take care, Joe. Very cool. Joe Mantegna from L.A. calling in to give me some tips on my upcoming Bleacher Bums appearance. We'll be back right after this.